let's talk. I want to tell two stories. Okay, first of all, so in the Tiv, it's not just about learning, it's about life. That's what the whole year is about. Trying to get ready to run Torah homes, knowing how to learn, being religious is a part of that, and everything else that goes with that we try to discuss. That's our plan here in Tier 1 for Rav Shai, Shlita, and myself. So there's a word out there that we use all the time. The word is Mesorah. We have a beautiful, fabulous Mesorah. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Hashem spoke to all of Bnei Yisrael. And then Moshe passed it on to generation. And we're living our lives now based on what God said to Moshe a few thousand years ago. And the Mesorah is Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh and the Gemara. And how the Gemara is explained by all of the Mefarshim and down to the Gedolim nowadays. We have a beautiful Mesorah. We're always looking backwards. It's a big theme of Nativ. Why does Rosh Yeshiva Shlita take us to Ponovitch? Because he wants you to see his Mesorah, where he got his beginnings as in his learning. So there's a story out there that goes as follows. That the Kalina Rebbe, you know Stol and Kalin, they yell when they daven? You ever go to their base medrash? They yell. So the Kalina Rebbe said one night, we're davening somewhere else tonight. And they get in the wagons, he and 40 Chassidim, and they go to one town, the next town, the next town. We're going to daven here. It's like midnight. They make it marv. It's midnight. And they need a place to daven. 40 guys together with the Rebbe, you know, in some small town. So there's an inn, a little hotel, an inn in the town. And they have the grounds outside the inn where they can maybe use to daven. So he knocks on the door. A very old man comes out. Very old man. And the Rebbe asks him, can we use your grounds to daven for our evening prayers? He says, yes. And they start davening, and they yell when they daven. And they're yelling, and it wakes up the whole town. Everyone's incredibly impressed hearing these people daven, pray to God. They come down, they bring fruits to the Rebbe, fruits to the people. They start davening to their version of God. It's a massive Kiddush Hashem, the prayer. It's the most incredible experience. The Rebbe's davening, the Chassidim are davening, the whole town is on fire, they bring the fruits, and now it's time to leave. And as they're about to leave, the Rebbe turns to the old man, very old man, and he says, Nu, what do you have to tell me? So the old man says, today is my 107th birthday. Not bad. On my 7th birthday, when my great-grandfather was the head of this inn, the Baal Shem Tov came here with his Talmidim. And they davened, and they yelled, and they danced, and everyone woke up, and everyone was dancing together. And as the Baal Shem Tov was about to leave, the Baal Shem Tov put his holy hands on my little head, and he gave me a bracha. And he said, you're going to live a very, very long life. And when my Talmidim get here, tell them I was here before them. And 100 years later, the Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim, get there and have this tefillah. So that story captures Yadus. If we live our lives the way our great-great-great-grandparents live their lives, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We're going to change everything. We're going to be okay. We have certain modern inventions that they didn't have. We have modern plumbing. Indoor plumbing's not a bad thing. Okay, we're okay. We're cool with that. But there's nothing wrong. The old way is great. Old is good. Old is good. In Judaism, old is good. We look backwards. Old is good.
Old is the new new.
Old is the new new. Rav Wilk Shlita says that Orthodox Judaism is conservative with a small c. It's a very good line. We're not in a rush to change things. And this is something you should take with you. It's very good to live the way they lived 30 years ago, 80 years, 100 years ago. We're with the Rabbanim, we're with the leading Rabbanim, we're in the Mesorah. It's a crucial thing to keep. And you say to yourself, does this fit? Does this fit? Does what I'm doing now fit with what happened 80 years ago? And if it doesn't fit, you better work it out. So that's story number one. Okay, story number two. Everything's Hashkacha. Yesterday when we were talking, I ran out of time and Judah said, what's this $83 story? So I ran out of time. So now we'll have the $83 story. And it goes as follows. We discussed the first day of the year that Hashem takes care of everything in our lives. And we have one job in life. What's our one job in life? Make good decisions. That's all we can do. make good decisions. He made a good decision coming back. Made a great decision staying till taking till Pesach. So here's the story. I heard this story first from the person who it happened to. His name is Dr. Pelkowitz, you know, the famous psychologist. And then later, this story was put into Rav Hanoch Teller, put into one of his books. He has a book called Too Beautiful, and this is in his book. So, you guys have reached Baruch Hashem a very good level now, as a whole, as the shiur, and in general. And the challenge, of course, is to do our best to maintain things. So here's the story. There was a lady in New York. She had a 9-year-old daughter. The daughter was shy, and because she was very extra shy, she went to see Dr. Pelkowitz, and that's how we knew about the story. So the mother was a big balas chesed. So she's always having her kids do chesed. Like in my neighborhood, there's a family. Like whenever there's any chesed in the neighborhood, this is the family that does it. Let's say you know you have now the Tisha B'Av videos that everyone, you know, every year the Tisha B'Av videos and all the they put on these Tisha B'Av things that everyone sees. So they run it, or there's a big or they're running everything. So this lady is a balas chesed. So there was a old widow in the neighborhood who was blind. So the mother says to her 9-year-old daughter, "I want you to go there once a week to read books to her. It's a nice chesed." So this 9-year-old shy girl is reading for this blind woman, and they're talking, and they're talking, and then one time, the girl says, "You know, it's really a shame that you're blind. You can't see." And the woman says, "Oh, don't worry, it's okay. In 2 years, I'll be able to see." So she says, "What?" Well, there's a new surgery that they invented that I can get my eyesight back, but I can't afford it. When I turn 70 or 75, whatever the age is, I'll be eligible for Medicaid, and they'll pay for the surgery. So I'll have the surgery then. I'll get my eyesight back. So the girl said, "You mean to tell me you can't see now because you can't afford the surgery?" She said, "Yeah." So the next day, this 9-year-old girl starts a collection, and she goes around in her local Beis Yaakov and goes into every class. "A woman needs surgery. I'm collecting money for her. And for the surgery," and she has a little bag, and she collects money, and she collects $83. So she has a little bag, puts an envelope, $83, 83 single dollar bills, and she and the woman, she comes back, and she's, "Okay, we're going for the surgery." There's an eye surgeon in the neighborhood who happens to be a religious Jew. Hashem runs the world, that makes the story better. So this old lady and the 9-year-old girl go to the surgeon's office, and they go to the surgeon's office, and they're waiting. So he sees his patients, and then he says, "Anyone else out there?" And she says, "Yeah, there's a girl here with an old woman. I'm not sure why they're here." So the surgeon comes and says to them, "Oh, what are you here for?" So the 9-year-old girl says, "Oh, we're here for the eye surgery, so she could see. Here's the money." So this religious guy says, "Okay." And he decides to give her the surgery for free. Now, it's not for free. He had to pay the insurance in the hospital, thousands of dollars of insurance in the hospital. He did the surgery for free. The girl's mother didn't know anything about this. And many, many thousands of dollars later, which she didn't pay, she comes with her eyesight. So the old lady, a few weeks later, the old lady walks into the little girl's mother's home and says, "Oh, thank you so much. Your daughter gave my eyesight back." And the mother was like shocked. She couldn't believe the whole story. It's an amazing story. She was like, "Dr. Pelkowitz dealt with the girl." So the mother copped what happened. The mother realized that my 9-year-old daughter guilted the doctor into doing this surgery. So she felt responsible a little bit. So she comes to the doctor's office, and she says, "You know, it was amazing what you did, but I really feel bad because, you know, my daughter sort of, you know, convinced you, got you into doing this, so I want to pay for the surgery, but I can't afford it now. I want to pay, you know, I want to pay it off little by little." And the surgeon said, no, I don't want your money. "It's okay, how often do I have a chance to do a chesed like this, to give somebody back their eyesight?" He said, "But I have one request." And he reaches into his pocket and he has the envelope. Says, "I want to keep this envelope, the $83. Because when I'm having a rough day and things aren't going well, ups and downs in my life, I touch my pocket and I realize that I once did something great with my life. So this envelope for me is priceless. It gives me chizuk all the time. One time I did something great. I gave this woman back her rice. I did this massive. I want to keep the $83. And that's what happened. That $83 is priceless. Because it reminds him physically of a level that he once achieved. When a person is inspired, emotions come and go, but your intellect stays forever. Your intellect stays forever. So if you want to recapture inspiration, you try to think back, you take a mental picture. Let's say the last time you davened at the Kosel for this trip. Take a mental picture. Who's around you? Now you take out your cell phone, start taking pictures. Who's around you? Who's above you? Where are you standing? And then 6 months later, you can sit back and try to meditate and think about that picture, and you'll pull back some of the inspiration. It works. This works in real life. A big Rav that I know told me he does this. He's one of the busiest people in the world. He does this. You can pull out the inspiration with a mental picture. But better than a mental picture, is something physical, something you can touch. When I touch this, it reminds me of the level I was at. Baruch Hashem. So this year was a very special year for me. I mean, it's not over. But the January to Pesach, came out the whole shir stayed. Almost no one left. Only Jack left and almost everyone stayed in shir. We had Baruch Hashem, a really nice crowd, and learning very well. It's very inspirational for me as well. So I decided this year that I want to make sure we all have our $83. So Baruch Hashem, Hashem works, Hashem runs the world. The Vayikra book came out yesterday. So I think we're all going to get a Vayikra book. I'm going to give it to you. They're all signed. We'll each have the Vayikra book, and we'll have a little Rikud. And you guys know, when you touch that book, you touch that Sefer, that reminds me of where we were holding. Pesach, Tav Shenayin Ches. If you want to pay for it, you can give it to Tzedakah. That's fine. That's fine. But it's not for me. So here we go. Let's give it out. They'll have a little Rikud. Here we go. Shimmy.
Yeah.